Hey everyone, I'm Julia Barbara, host of the Julie and Gino podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Julia Barbara, how are we doing today?
Excellent.
You ready to let it rip? This Absolutely. Is going to be an awesome show. Yeah. Today's guest is Trent Talbot, founder of Brave Books, a conservative children's book publishing company. Formerly trained as a medical doctor, Trent stepped down from his practice to create a company that helped develop books that enthrall all children, including his own, why the values they need to thrive in today's world. Welcome to the show, Trent.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah.
Wow, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on because I love companies that have a mission, that build a mission, and that really work hard towards that mission. What was the mission of Brave Books? Why did you leave becoming a medical doctor and do what you're doing today?
Yeah, I was a happily practicing ophthalmologist, doing cataract surgery 3 days a week. And then I was saved as a Christian about 5 years ago. Shortly after that, got married, had our first daughter in the summer of 2020. And this is like peak COVID craziness, peak sort of woke, you know, stuff going on. And you know, sort of like whenever you get a new car, you start to see that new car everywhere. When Charlotte was born, I started to just see the indoctrination, you know, agenda on our kids everywhere. So like walking to Barnes and Noble, you see the indoctrination table. Anti-Racist Baby was the number one book on Amazon. That trailer for the film Cuties came out, which really blew my mind. It was just like, it was almost every single day I was seeing something new for like the first 3 weeks of our life. And for whatever reason, it just really bothered me. Just imagining her growing up in this world where that, all that stuff is normal. And, you know, all those things, they teach values that I don't believe in. And I don't want her to believe in. I wanted to make sure that anyway, it just bothered me. And so I started to have this idea for Brave Books and the Freedom Island universe that we've created and sort of the vision behind Brave Books. And it just started build the vision just kept growing, 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 crystallizing. And eventually I was like, man, this seems, pulling the trigger on this would be an adventure that I think would just be the adventure of a lifetime. And the fun, that side started to outweigh the security of ophthalmology. And eventually I was just like, I'm pulling the trigger and we'll see what happens. And then I've just been blessed, you know, throughout this whole process, just with the people that we've hired, just perfect person after person. I mean, it's just incredible. The team that we put together, you know, we've only been around for 2 years and didn't have any clue what we were doing whenever we started. None of us, but just got blessed to get connected to such an amazing team. And we've done quite a bit in 2 years.
Trent, what was the conversation with your wife when you said, I'm leaving ophthalmology? Because the conversation that I had with my wife when I was leaving the restaurant, she's like, let me think about that for a second, because I had done it. That was my identity. I had done it for so many years, and I wanted to strike out on something new. Same with you. I had a reason. I had a why. And I think your why is really massive, because you're not only affecting your family, you're affecting millions of families around the world. Was that a conversation that she's like, yeah, Trent, go for it, baby, or let's think about this for a second?
Yeah. Well, you know, we were still sort of in that honeymoon phase.
There's the secret right there. Yeah. Okay. So
she was giving me a little bit more grace than, you know, if I was to make that decision now, she'd be very blunt. Just what are you thinking? But you know, it was a big decision, obviously. You know, we had so much security. We're just starting a family. And to make that decision, put our family at risk. And so she asked a lot of really good questions, caused me to really just sit down and think and analyze and figure out a way to reduce our risk as much as possible. And I'm grateful for that. Otherwise, I may not have been as thoughtful, you know, before I took the leap.
Yeah. Yeah. I know faith obviously had a huge role in this, because, you know, I talk to a lot of people that don't have faith and they want to try something new and they're very lost. And I know for me and my husband, more for me, let's just be honest, I did have a lot of faith, like, God, whatever you want. and it's kind of like, I'm just teasing.
I'm like, we're making it happen. Teasing. I got to get out there and crush it, baby. Nothing's going to get my way.
But and, yeah, yeah.
Right,
I hear you. I hear you. And I know a lot of people kind of like, oh, well, that's not that big of a deal. But for me personally, and tell me where you were. I know that you were recently became a Christian. What impact that had on that, your decision to, because I don't think people realize you were a doctor. Like, that's huge. You had this, all this education into, and you're a doctor now. I'm leaving this to write kids' books. I mean, if you think about it, right? So what, where with faith?
So she's saying, Trent, you took a step down, my friend.
Well, you're going the wrong that way. Is, I mean, your values were there. I mean, obviously, you know, obviously your values were more important than even the title is doctor, because, you know, you're still a doctor, but, you know, yeah, a lot of us make crazy decisions based off, this is not right, I have to do something. And that's incredible.
Yeah. I don't know, for whatever reason, I've never looked at, I've never felt tied down to past effort. You know, like everyone mm-hmm. would say, you spent 12 years to become a doctor, like you're just going to throw it all away. Mm-hmm. But the thing, the reality is that that's in the past.
Yeah.
And that's, it's already gone. And so really I just tried to make a decision, you know, like what was the best thing to do at this point in time? And not look at it like that, like whatever, you know, wasted years or wasted time, because it wasn't wasted. Like, you know, there's a lot of discipline that went into that. I developed a lot of discipline, a lot of, you know, certain ways to think were helpful, but I tried to just think about it from this point where I was at in 2020, was that a sound decision? And just really thinking through, like, and a lot of it's instinct too. It's not all just rational brain. Mm-hmm. Like, I just felt in my gut, like there was a need for a brand that parents could trust with their children's imaginations. I just felt it in my bones, and I was right. There is a need, you know, because Disney's gone woke, Scholastic is, you know, terrible. And there's parents can't read every book. They can't watch every TV show. It's just, it's impractical. Mm-hmm. And there needed to be a brand step up for Christian conservative parents that unapologetically, you know, reinforce those values that they believe, because nobody else is doing that. Everybody, you know, for Christian conservatives, everybody else is really trying to instill values that they don't, that those parents don't believe in. And so it was a lot of analysis, research, you know, but then a lot just in my bones, I knew.
What was the first book that you wrote?
First book was Elephants Are Not Birds. So it was on the topic of gender reality. And the story is about an elephant named Kevin the elephant. I named after my brother. And he gets mad because Kevin's like the most lame character on Fantasy Island. He's this elephant who likes to sing. And then Culture the Vulture hears him singing one day, and he's like, and elephants in this town called Tokatoke on Freedom Island, they have to carry supplies across town. So they're like the UPS drivers of today. And Kevin didn't like that. He liked to sing. And so Culture the Vulture noticed that and was like, hey, you know, you sing so well, surely, oh, surely you must be a bird. And Kevin was like, really? I'd love to be a bird, fly and sing. And so Culture gives him a beak and some wings, and Kevin's singing. He's trying to live life as a bird. It doesn't go very well for Kevin. Eventually, the town's sort of centerpiece tree, the big white pine, catches on fire. Kevin the elephant uses his inner elephantness to save the day, his trunk to put the fire out, mm-hmm. and realize that he's special the way that he was made, mm-hmm. and that's the lesson of the story, you know. So the idea for that, it's obviously to help reinforce that boys are boys and girls are girls. And parents use that as a tool to have that conversation, you know, knowing that at some point kids are going to be hearing this, you know, this trans stuff, and they want their kids to have that conversation first. to instill some truth in their kids before they face that out in the world. You know, we can't shelter our kids. Mm-hmm. We have to instill truth in them.
How do you come up with the titles and who is writing these books? Because you've got
that's what I wanted to get to. Like, who did I just cut you off?
Did she just cut me off?
So it's a combination of us and the author. We're co-authors in it because every single story takes place in our universe, Freedom Island. And, you know, authors are not, they're not as in tune with Freedom Island as we are. And they don't know exactly the character arcs that we want to take, all the characters and the overarching story. And so we have in-depth calls with them. Like, all right, what do you want to get across to kids across the country? And we hear their heart behind the book. And then we take that and we come up with storyboards and we get their thoughts and tweak and tweak and tweak until it's like spot on. We take their heart behind the story, what they want to get across into our universe, into our overarching narrative. And it's been a great, and then obviously they help promote it.
Hmm. I love the fact that you mentioned that you're writing these books to give parents an opportunity to talk about these things with the kids, because we homeschooled, we've always done it. During COVID, a lot of people started it because of this, and they had the opportunity to realize that they can do it. It's not as hard as you think. It's, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort. And we do have obviously more control on what the kids learn. Yeah. But a lot of kids do go to school and they're being taught things that we have, as parents, they have no idea, absolutely no idea when certain things are being talked about. And so I love that you give the parents the opportunity to bring things up, because you don't want to bring things up that aren't brought up at school. The kids be like, what are you talking about? Like, where is this coming from? So now you have these characters. And I love that idea because I hear from a lot of parents, you know, they're kind of like, well, what are you going to do about it? It's not much we can do about it. Oh my gosh, there's so much we could do. And I think your message just shows it. It's like, start talking to the kids, buy the books, read the stories, and have the conversations. Because when the kids have that solid foundation, through the years of growing up, first of all, we can't just assume the kids are going to figure things out by themselves. They'll be older and now they'll have that set. I feel like our kids really do have that foundation where these things come up and they know how to talk about it.
It's all about creating that foundation.
Yeah.
So check this out. The vision for Brave Books is when Christian conservative parents, when their kids hit 3 to 5 years old, they start subscribing to the Freedom Island Book Club. And they get a new book, a new picture book every single month in the mail, and kids love getting mail. Mm-hmm. And so they the books come with a big map and you put stickers on them. And so the kids just have a blast with it, but they get a picture book every single month for 50 months that reinforces a different, you know, value, moral character, you know, things like hard work, honesty, importance of family, et cetera, et cetera. When the kids hit like 8, after 50 months, it transitions to 2 chapter books a month. And then, and we've got 2 different series with the chapter books that are going to be incredible, that are under work. And then that'll happen for 5 years. So from the time they're 3 to 4 for the next 10 years, they're growing up in this world, Freedom Island, with these characters, the topics age with them, the story ages with them, and really helps. And our books aren't just entertainment. They also instill those characters, that morality that's so crucial for building that foundation. That moral foundation is really instilled by the age of 9. And that's our vision. And then, you know, pretty soon we'll have live action television, animated television that will help complement that. But that's our vision is to give a place for children's imaginations, a safe place for kids' imaginations to go and just have a blast, you know, imagine, dream, that will never betray their trust or the mm-hmm. parents' trust, and will never counter what parents teach.
Mm-hmm. And Trent, it's important that I want to say this to the listeners. The best way for a child to learn, and even an adult, is by telling a story. And your stories also have what we call the moral premise. At the end, the moral premise really ties the whole story together, and they can actually learn, because now you've actually created pictures in their minds and they're looking at this elephant and saying, well, he really can't fly. but he really is an elephant. How is he an elephant? Because he has those characteristics. And when you're teaching a child that, it's very easy for the child to learn that story. And the way you've broken down the framework, you've actually given them years on it. You're not only creating the Freedom Island, you're creating a community of like-minded people who can go back and continue to access those resources. And that's really important. But my question is, you said you were blessed when you started. And being blessed is one thing, but there's a lot of hard work that goes into this. When this is going to be a business question. Okay, you okay with the business question?
Okay.
When you're scaling a company and you're starting out from scratch, what did you do? What are the couple of things that you did to get this off the ground? Because it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of effort, a lot of reaching out to people. What were the couple of things that you did to start this thing off the ground and get it to scale up?
Yeah. Well, the one thing I didn't want to do whenever I started this thing was go and quit ophthalmology and then, you know, put my heart and soul into something nobody hear about it. So the first thing that we did was partner with influencers, you know, people that had a platform. So did that just to make sure, you know, somebody hears about it. And then pretty soon we figured out that that wasn't quite enough. We needed more. And I didn't know anything about marketing. We were trying marketing, it was slow. But what we did was we just used creativity and tenacity through PR. So I don't know if you heard about all the controversy with Kirk Cameron and the story. Mm-hmm. 40 hours at libraries, you know, that was us. And, you know, we sort of made that happen. Yeah. Now, you know, they had to help us, but we were out there pushing and then they sort of stepped on their foot and denied Kirk Cameron, which is just an insane thing. You know, it was a book about biblical wisdom. And so it became a national story. We capitalized on that and kept pushing, kept going to more story hours, you know, did a big nationwide event. And so the tenacity in PR was a big turning point for us. It gave us that brand awareness and capital to then really invest in our marketing. And now marketing's starting to pick up. So
you've got some huge Dinesh D'Souza, how did you convince them to come on board and actually write a book with you? That's actually truly impressive for a startup fledgling company. A guy who was a doctor 2 years ago and all of a sudden he has an epiphany of he wants to start a company. That's truly genius. And I think it lends to the vision that you have as a leader, because you really have to put out the vision to someone who is a high level influencer entrepreneur themselves and saying, I'm going to take a chance on Trent. He's a doctor. He has nothing, no idea how to write books.
He's an eye doctor. He had the vision. Haven't you connected this yet?
I have not. Okay. That's why I've got you to tell me that.
I've been dying to say that this whole time.
Wait for the perfect time. That's really right. It was the vision, you know, and just sort of laying that out for these, you know, whether celebrities, influencers, whatever you want to call them. You know, I think they really, once they got sold on this vision, they wanted to be a part of it and they wanted to help see that vision come true, because it is a need and and we all have soft spots for kids. Mm-hmm. And so I think if we can be a part of something that helps kids grow up in this crazy world, it makes the sales pitch a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite book? Which one and why?
Man, that's a good question. I go back and forth all the time. The Island of Free Ice Cream is really good. It's written by Jack Posobiec. I don't know if you know him. It's on like the dangers of communism, socialism.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Expand upon that. That's an important topic, because I just watched The Man in the High Castle on Amazon.
Yeah.
And 4 seasons, and talk about, it was a great show. They ended a little too soon, but it was scary about how the U.S. lost World War II and the Reich took over and the Japanese Empire. And it's amazing how they indoctrinate children at 5 and 6 years old, and they're willing to turn in their neighbors, almost like what happened in COVID. I thought it was just mind-blowing how indoctrinated they start at such a young age. That's why I wanted to get you on the show, because it's so important that we capture the hearts and minds of young kids and let that free thought and that free expression come through and not have this propaganda that the Reich and that this movie was portraying. So I just thought it was so powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's something that, you know, you wouldn't think that kids should should necessarily like have to hear, but I think it is helpful for kids to hear, even at ages like 5 to 6. You know, it's we don't say the words communism or socialism at all. Right. It's really just a fun story about an island where the wolves are giving away, or say they're giving away free ice cream. Turns out they're really not. And it's just really funny. We have a book. So my daughter's obsessed with the main villain of our series called Blackheart. and we have a book called The Treasure of Cabal Island. And that's the origin story of Blackheart. He used to be best friends with the main legend of Freedom Island, author Braveheart. And Blackheart, greed overtakes him, and he goes from a white tiger to a black and red tiger. If you haven't seen him, he's this epic character. Let me see, hold on. Oh yeah, check this out. Okay, so this is Blackheart right here.
For all the YouTubers out there watching YouTube.
Oh yeah. Oh, yo, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's good. Okay. We'll get them to the YouTube channel.
So.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Great picture. While you're doing this, where's the website? Where can they go to go check these books out too while we're speaking?
Bravebooks.com.
Bravebooks.com. Yeah. I'll hit that up at the end, but for anybody looking, go to bravebooks.com.
That's awesome.
Trent, this may be a little interesting of a question. I don't know how to frame this, but doctors tend not to be artistic and creative. Were you that way as a doctor, or did it spring about from the passion that you had about writing these books? Because doctors really work with systems, processes, checklists. Right. They're really, you know, detail oriented. Whereas what you're creating here is something, I don't want to say beautiful and I don't want to say magical, but it appears to me, and these stories imbue that kind of magic and that kind of creativity. Okay, I will. But I'm just saying, like, you pull it out, you whip it out. It's such a beautiful picture. Yeah. And those stories that you're writing, were you really a doctor, or were you really an author and an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I worshiped my dad growing up, and my dad was an entrepreneur in the oil and gas industry. And when I was younger, he was grinded. He grinded from the time I was young, and was still grinding when I was like high school, college. And he was just like, man, he was like, I'm so jealous of these doctors because they don't have to kiss anybody's butt. You know, they're set. They don't have to grind. It's just like you're made. And he really pushed me to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know myself that well when I was younger. I didn't really have a good sense of my strengths and weaknesses. Looking back, I think it was very clear that I'm highly creative and I like to think, you know, 5-10 years in the future and think really big. I wasn't consciously aware of that. And so I never got into ophthalmology that much. You know, like my brother, he's an ophthalmologist.
And Kevin.
Kevin. And Kevin is obsessed. I mean, he like reads ophthalmology journals. I never have considered reading ophthalmology journal. It's like, but he loves it. And he's constantly tweaking his methods. I was always just sort of doing my own thing, you know? And yeah, looking back, it didn't fit me. I didn't enjoy it. You know, as a doctor, you go from room to room. I had 5 rooms and I'd go room 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3. And they all had the same things. You know, it was like glaucoma, cataracts, dry eyes. And I said the same thing over and over. And I'm just like, hey.
That's a painful existence.
A little shout out to Kevin. Kevin, if you are listening, we need you in the world. We love that you're the way you are because we need our eyes checked.
Yes.
Right. And I'm thankful for Trent, who is the way he was made to be creative. And I think that's kind of like what one of our books is about, is you were created with some kind of passion. Like you obviously went after it. I have to give you a lot of credit for that because I get what you're saying. A lot of people do live, not so much their parents' dream for them, but they're, you know, they've gone through something. They're like, please don't do what I did. And so the kids don't.
So what was your dad's reaction when you said, Dad, I'm quitting. I'm writing kids' books, you know, air quotes. He must be like, yeah, Kev, go for it, Trent.
Yeah, that he wasn't very supportive. I mean, in the end, you know, once I made the decision, he really warned me. you know, but he got behind me to his credit for sure. And, but at the end of the day, I was 30, I was in my 30s, you know, he's not, we have, it's more of a friendship now. And so, but yeah, there was a lot of social pressure not to do it. Like people were like, what? You know, but again, for whatever reason, it's never been something that's slowed me down whatsoever. Is that it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. You know, you feel something.
But it's that entrepreneur in you.
Yes, but I give you a lot of credit for actually having awareness at a young age, because most of us were doing our thing every day, and we just say, "Hey, that's how life is. I'm a doctor. I really can't do anything else. I'm born into this, and there's nothing looking outside, looking within. There's no personal growth. There's no personal journey. There's no exploration. Really, there's a lot of people don't pray, don't talk to God, and there's none of that introspection and reflection. So I give you a lot of credit for doing that. And then the second part, just stepping away and trying something else. Because what's the worst thing that can happen? 3 years from now, you can always go back to being a doctor if you have to, which you will not have to. But in the back of your mind, you always have that skill set.
Mm. Right.
So true. I love I love how it works. It's not just go on Amazon and buy the books. I do love the whole model that you created, to the point where I actually am going to sign up this. My girls will love it. All my kids will like it because I get my kids to, like, you know, teach the younger kids, because secretly the older, you know, 24-year-old does love to read little kids' books, you know, secretly.
We all do.
We love to have that. And so they're going to love it.
And they're beautiful books. I'm really excited about it. We have to say, honestly, they are beautifully illustrated.
Excellent job.
The stories are beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's not one of those things where you just, hey, it's a hobby of mine. You went all in. You had the vision. And I like the entrepreneurial spirit where it's not just, I don't want to say a hobby, but you have the framework set up and you already have the vision and you're already creating other multiple layers of this, which is pretty cool.
Sure. Yeah. And all of you out there, if you don't have kids, well, if you have kids, obviously sign them up. If you don't have kids, you do have nieces, nephews, grandchildren, neighbors, you know, it's a great gift, an ongoing gift, just a little something.
Trent, what is the vision 5 years from now? What are you looking to do within the next 5 years? Bring on more influencers, expand the brand, maybe a board game, flashcards.
Dude, we're coming out with so many products. We've got tons of different games that are in the works that are starting to come out. So we've got the picture books. 5 years from now, we'll have the chapter books will be well underway. And then live action TV show, we've got something in the works that's going to be incredible. Animated television. We're working on a Brave Battle card game, which is it's our take on Pokemon.
Nice.
Like a combination of Pokemon. What's that one? Oh, it's the wizard one. What do you?
Dungeons and Dragons?
No, it's not it. Whatever.
That's
anyway,
just your age there.
It's going to be great. And yeah, we got, and so just keep on pushing. We're getting behind this nonprofit, that is going to be taking on Scholastic. If y'all go to our site, we put together this PDF that exposes Scholastic and the stuff they're doing. It's disgusting.
Okay. Well, that's awesome that you do that. Let me just point that out, because we don't know as parents what's we see the name and we're like, oh yeah, I remember that when I was little. I'm sure it's fine. Wow, that's great. Okay, keep going.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Go to bravebooks.com. I think in our menu bar it's like Stop Scholastic or something. Download this PDF. It will blow your mind. And it's hard to predict, because like every 6 months we're taking on new and bigger projects. We've just got this crazy tenacious team we go after a lot. And so 5 years from now, we're going to be huge. Mm-hmm. We're on our way to becoming a household name. I think that every Christian conservative family across the country will be subscribed, and because we're just going to keep adding value until it becomes an absolute no-brainer. And so we're in the process. When is this going to air?
Probably next couple months.
Okay. Yeah. So by the time this airs, we're going to have what we call the Brave Family Plan. And we've put together, the books are just a part of this plan to help families come together like never before, increase you know, strengthen those family bonds and create family time in a fun way, organized way that we've created this point system. So anyway, I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about a lot. We got a lot going on.
That's amazing.
So it's not going into one room, two rooms, three rooms, four rooms, five rooms. You're going into hundreds of rooms
thousands,
every day. It's a
millions.
Much, much different
thing. Parents, this is just a little something from a parent. A lot of times we just want to, you know, turn and look the other way because we don't want to be bothered with, you know, we send our kids to school and we all go off and do our own thing. But we have a responsibility as parents, as moms, I can speak for myself, to know what our kids are learning, to know what their foundation in life is going to be, because we're the parents. We are their responsibility. We are the responsibility. And so just this little thing of getting these brave books can really be that starting point to saying, okay, let me dial back and let me just have those conversations with our little guys.
Trent, can I have the website again for the listeners before I wrap up the show?
Bravebooks.com.
So we have a young Trent Talbot going to college. He wants to become an ophthalmologist because his dad's like, you know, that's a good gig to do. It. I've been grinding my face off. That entrepreneurial thing is just not too sexy. I'm going to be honest with you. The doctor route is the way to go. Yeah. So Trent loves his dad. He tells what his dad does. And after 12 years, he becomes an ophthalmologist. But he realizes every day is the same. Room one, room two, room three, room four, room five. I can't keep doing this every day. And he gets an epiphany. He's like, I have a child and my child is reading all this crap and I have a moral obligation and a moral duty to take control of that, because whatever goes into my daughter's mind, that's how she's going to grow up. I guess Trent gets that epiphany from God and he says, I need to start this company, Brave Books. And it starts with one little book with Kevin the Elephant being confused. And it's grown into a little mini empire in only 2 years. The tenacity, the hard work, the vision, I think the joy and the energy really makes an amazing company. And having that mission statement, a brand that parents can trust with their children's imagination. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. I got to say that one more time, everybody. A brand that parents can trust with their children's imaginations. That is a catalyzing statement. That's a one statement. You know all about Trent's company. You know that the company is going to crush it. Keep bringing on influencers. Anything else, Trent, before we wrap up?
You nailed it. That kind of gave me chills. So thank you for that synopsis.
Oh, my pleasure, brother.
I love his wrap-ups. His wraps-up, they're just awesome.
No, you know why? Because it's easy to wrap up a person's story who's at a young age because you've done so much, you've accomplished so much, and you're just scratching the tip of the iceberg, and just continue to do that vision. There's going to be lonely days. There's going to be challenging days. But if you go back to the vision, mm-hmm. and don't worry when you're talking about it, there's an arc of concern. People worry about where they are today. They don't coach or work towards the vision. You're already working 5 years out and you're working towards your joy. And that is what 99% of these people on the planet don't do. That's why the 1% is super successful. Money is the result. You know, you're going to create an amazing results and the money will follow. You're not choosing money, right? I always like to say profit is the fuel. It's not the destination. That is exactly what you're trying to do. You need profit to continue this journey, but that's really not the destination. So that's what I'm really proud of. And it's been an honor and a privilege to have you on the show and to share your story. So once again, thanks a lot for being on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was an awesome interview. Y'all are great.
Thanks, my friend.
Yeah.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.